Proverbs chapter 30. This morning we're going to look at something that's probably been the greatest, it's been the greatest debate since the foundation of everything, really. And there's a great question that is asked in Proverbs chapter number 30. We're going to look there, I don't even remember the verse, verse number 4. And we'll read that verse, and then we'll have prayer. But just really was struggling kind of with something to preach, and was actually looking at something else, and was trying to do a little outline on something. And the Lord, I was using one of my Bible programs on the computer to do a word search. And the term Son of God came up, and so we started looking at that, or I started looking at that, and just kind of watched the way it ran through the Scriptures. And it was very interesting, especially in the first parts of the book of Matthew. And so we're going to look at some of these things here and hopefully be able to express to you the things that God showed me in these verses. But we go back to Proverbs for our start. And I realize that in this book, the word Son of God does not appear in those terms. But nonetheless, he is there in Proverbs chapter number 30. And so let's read the verse, and then we'll have a word of prayer, and we'll get started, hopefully, with a message here this morning. Verse number 4, the Bible says, "Who hath ascended up into heaven, or descended? Who hath gathered the wind in his fist? Who hath bound the waters in a garment? Who hath established all the ends of the earth?" Now you say, that sounds like creation. Well, it is. It's a part of creation. And it deals with those things. Who hath bound up the waters? Who hath established all the ends of the earth? Who hath gathered the winds in his fist? We know the answer there is God. I mean, there is none other but God. But then notice the rest of that verse. It says, "What is his name?" And that, in reality, is the greatest problem that man has today, is who he is or what he is, the correct God. I mean, if you look at religion, I mean, there's hundreds of them that are on our planet. There's people that come by your door every day of the week, sometimes. And, everybody professes to have a God. Everybody professes to have something they serve. But notice here it says, "What is his name?" Now this puts the name of the God to creation. So in other words, it doesn't really matter about any of the other little gods. If you go to Greek mythology or Roman mythology or the ancient mythologies of the areas there where everything started over there in the Middle East, you go to all of those things, there are many, many, many gods. But really, what does it boil down to? Even if you want to look at those gods, who started the thing? Man is asked from day one, who put me here and what is my purpose? And that's the real question, And notice here we deal with, number one, we see in this verse who put us here because it says, who hath established all the ends of the earth. And then it says, what is his name? But then notice the second part. And what is his son's name? If thou canst tell. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for the day. Thank you so much for all that you do for us. We thank you, Lord God, for each one that's come to your house this morning. We ask now that you might use the message, Lord God, that you might give the right words, that the things would be said would be edifying and pleasing and glorify you this morning here in the service. We do pray, Lord God, if there's one here that's lost, that they might be saved, Lord God, before it's too late, that they might see themselves as a sinner, Lord God, in need of salvation, that they might turn to you this morning, that they might see that this is the only way. If nothing else, Lord God, help us to see who you are and help us to see who your son is through these things here out of your word this morning. We thank you so much for what it is that you've done for us. We ask that you bless it. Lord God, have your way in this service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, the Bible says here, what is his son's name? Now you say, what about Islam? Do they teach there's a God? Yes, they teach there's a God. They will try to tell you that they have the same God that we have, Jehovah. The problem is, they say, there is, but Muhammad was his prophet, and there is only one. So do they say, did Jesus Christ live? Sure. They said, yeah, he was a good man, and he lived, and he was a prophet, but he wasn't God's prophet. You take the Jehovah's Witness that come by your door. Say, what do they teach about Jesus Christ? They teach he was a created God, not the Son of God. You see, that is the problem. It all will boil down. At the end of the day, you will have to make a decision. What have I done, or what am I doing with the Son of God, if there is such a person? And we all know that there is, but we hope to establish that through the Word of God this morning, but also show you some very interesting things. The Bible says, Proverbs here, now this was a very long time, hundreds of years before the Lord Jesus Christ came, and the writer here in Proverbs, he said, what is his name, and what is his son's name? And then he says, if thou canst tell. So you say, what is the thought for the message today? Number one, it is the Son of God. But more importantly, do you know that? Because Proverbs asked, what is his son's name, if thou canst tell? And that's been the greatest debate since the beginning of time. Let's look at some things. Now, we know here this morning, if you've been in church at all, or if you have any, maybe even religious background, you know that the Son of God is the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, well, I don't believe that. But even if you don't believe it, the supposed Son of God is Jesus Christ, right? I mean, you can say I believe that, or you can say I don't believe that, but that's what the world pretty much accepts. They say, well, I don't believe it, but he's just the supposed. Either way, he's the one connected as being the Son of God. Take our Bibles. Let's go over to the book of Matthew, chapter number 1, and let's look at some things here. In the book of Matthew, chapter number 1, you have the genealogy, or you have the start here of the Son of David. This genealogy takes Jesus Christ back to David. Why? Matthew deals primarily with Jesus being king of the Jews. That's why it only goes back to David. If you want to see Jesus Christ go back to Adam, then you go back over there and you look in Luke's gospel, chapter 3. Why? Luke deals with Jesus Christ as being the Son of Man. But we want to look at some things here and notice in Matthew, chapter number 1, you all know the story. Now, I know it's not Christmas time, but guess what? It'll be here tomorrow. So you might as well read the passage anyway, right? All right, in Matthew chapter number 1, and look at verse number 18. The Bible says, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of God, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived of her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name what? Jesus. Why? For he shall save his people from their sins. Now see, here's something right off the bat, we got a problem. Because you say, well, I believe in God like most other religions, but I don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, you got a problem because he's the one that saves from sin. You see, hey, I'm not trying, don't take this the wrong way. We're not belittling or putting God in a secondary place to the Son. But without the Son of God, because they were the same, and that's hard to understand, but without the Son of God, there is no salvation. I mean, you got to understand that. And that's the purpose. See, what mankind does, hey, you say, well, I am going to work my way to heaven this morning. Well, then you are trying to get to God. You are trying to get salvation without the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the definition of all other religion.
Do you realize that in a King James Bible, the word religion is only found five times? And you say, what's the number of five? It's the number of death. Say, why? Because that's what religion is. It's death. You say, why? Because religion, most of it, doesn't include the Lord Jesus Christ. It includes a God. And it may even include the God. The right God. But without the Son of God, you cannot have salvation. Now, you say, in those five times that religion's mentioned, yeah, you know what's unique? Only one of them is in a positive light. Say, why? Because there's only one way. But we're not preaching on that this morning. That's free. You can put it in your notes, tuck it away. But look back in verse number 21. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And then look at verse number 23. Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Why was he called Jesus? Well, he was called Jesus because he was also be named Emmanuel. Why is he called Emmanuel? Because that is God with us. See, that's the only way salvation works. That's why in all the mythology, in all the mythology, there's a pagan or there's a counterfeit copy of this. You know, I mean, what was Zeus? He was a god, right? Supposed to be one of the big gods. Did he have a son? Hercules. Hercules. What was Hercules supposed to be noted for? Great strength and all these great things. But you know what? You see, it's a representation. You say, why? Because if Satan can come along and get you focused on Hercules, Hercules is not Jesus. Hercules was strong, but he couldn't save the world from their sin. See what I mean? There's a lot of gods out there. You say, oh, I don't believe in any God. Yeah, you do. You believe in yourself, don't you? Then you're your own God. You say, well, I'm going to make my way. Okay. But God said his Son, Jesus Christ, would save the world from their sins. But let's read on. Take your Bibles there. Notice here in verse number, let's jump over for a quick minute and let's go over to the book of Luke and let's see something here. We're just laying a foundation here. We are nowhere near the message, so relax. Notice there, you know, the bad part hadn't even come yet. Just enjoy right now. The music is still playing as an introduction, you know, if you're watching a movie there. Look in Luke chapter number 1. In Luke chapter number 1, look there if you would in verse number 32. The Bible says, let's go back to verse number 30. Let's talk about the birth of Jesus once again. And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name what? Jesus. There it is again. You see, the Son of God has a name. And it's an earthly name. Why is it an earthly name? Because God with us is God manifest in the flesh. And notice, he was Jesus Christ. But notice something else. We read on. And he shall be great, and he shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore, also, that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called what? The Son of God. Who hath ascended into heaven? Who hath descended? Son of God. Who hath gathered the winds in his fist? Who hath established the ends of the earth? You say, oh, God did that. Jesus did it too. Take your Bibles, look over in the Gospel of John. Look over in the Gospel of John. We're just running through here real quick. Look in the Gospel of John. John chapter number 1. We use a lot of scripture this morning, but these things need to be seen. In John chapter number 1, we get over there. You say, why is John different? John doesn't have a genealogy, because John represents the Lord Jesus Christ as God, or excuse me, as the Son of God. That's why it starts out differently. In the beginning, it says in verse number 1, John 1, 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You say, okay, well, that's pretty cool, right? In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Look at verse 3. All things were made by Him. Who is that? That's the Word. You say, well, it could be God. Well, the Word was with God, and the Word was God. It's the same. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and this life was the light of men. There it is. See, what is the great debate amongst science? Where did life come from? You see, you don't even have to worship religion. You can say, I don't believe in God. But then science comes along and says, okay, life still had to come from some place, correct? I mean, we had to exist. I mean, we didn't. I mean, unless you just spontaneously combusted, and I don't think that happened to anybody here this morning. I mean, you know, where did life come from? Well, the Bible says, and the life, what is it? Look at this. In Him was life. In who was life? In the Word. Who is the Word? It's God, but yet more specifically, who is the Word? In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. Now look over at verse 14. And the Word, there it is capitalized again, was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory as the glory of the only begotten of the Father. There it is, the Son of God, full of grace and of truth. You see, what are we driving at? The Word is none other than the Son of God. That's why in Revelation chapter 19, verse number 13, you don't have to look over there, but you can jot it down. In Revelation chapter 19, verse number 13, the Word of God says, talking about Jesus Christ, that's a passage that deals with His second advent. When He comes back to this earth, it says in Revelation 19, 13, and His name is called the Word of God. Now, you say, I just don't believe that. That's the issue. You see, the bottom line is, Proverbs asked a question. What is His name? His name is Jehovah. His name is God. But more importantly, what is His Son's name, if thou canst tell? And that's one of the greatest questions in the Bible, because that's the greatest thing, that's the greatest question for your life here this morning. What is His Son's name? Now, we're looking at His Son's name. We've saw that it's Jesus. He was the Son of God. He was conceived by the Holy Ghost. We see here that He's also the Word of God. Now, you say, well, I don't believe that. Well, you're in good company. Take your Bibles and let's look at something real quick. I want you to see this. Look in Genesis chapter number 3. In Genesis chapter number 3, we see the very first time Satan showed up on the earth after the recreation. Now, Satan was there before. We know he had a throne. He was the anointed cherub of God, but he fell through sin. That caused the destruction of the earth there. Genesis 1:1, 1:2, all that stuff. But when God recreated it and God put man on the earth, He put Adam and Eve there on the earth. In Genesis chapter number 3, the Bible says, now look what he's called here. The Bible says, now the serpent was more subtle than, I'm in verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, what? Yea, hath God said. Say, what does he mean there? Yea is positive. It's in the form of a question. You know, what he's doing there is, he's basically questioning the Word of God. See it? You say, who was the first person to ever question God's Word? It was none other than Satan himself. He's the first person in the Bible to question the Word of God. You see, that's the whole problem man faces. Either this is right, or science is right. But they can't both be right. Either this is right, or I'm right, and we live in a dream world. We really don't exist. We're all just figments of one another's imagination. We got some pretty goofy imaginations, don't we? I mean, there's people who believe that. I was reading the other day. I mean, now you guys, some of you are going to know. You know that worldly movie there they had back in the 90s. There, I think I was a teenager when it came out. It's called The Matrix. He said, "What was it?" Well, it was about this computer generated world, and everybody really lived inside it. But there were some free people that had broken out of it, and they were trying to destroy the system. You say, "Oh, that sounds goofy." Do you know I read an article on the internet the other day? This is today, and it said they are some scientists that believe we are in a matrix society, and they are trying to petition to get us delivered from it. They are trying to get the technology. These are scientists, and they believe that. You say, "Oh, they're a bunch of kooks." It doesn't matter. That shows you. You either believe that is right, or you believe we're in a matrix. You believe there is no God. You believe, well, there is a God, but it doesn't really matter what you do with His Son. We all just live life and we try to do the best we can. And one day, God, we're going to show up in heaven. And if we've been good, God's going to say you're going to get into heaven. But if you've been bad, God's going to say you go to hell. I mean, everybody believes something, you know. And the point is, hey, something's got to be right. And we've showed you, hey, Proverbs said there is a God, but it also said He had a Son. And His Son is called the Word of God. And Jesus may not be on the earth right now, but He left you. He is Word. That His Word goes forth into all the nations. The heavens declare the glory of God. Over there in Psalms 19, in Romans chapter 1, it's all there. But notice here, notice it says Satan was the first person and he questioned the Word of God. If you're here and you're not saved this morning, you are questioning the Word of God. And you say, I'm not saying you're doing it intentionally, but you're going to be faced with, okay, if the Word of God says I got to do this to make it to heaven, do I really have to do that? If you say, yes, I choose the Word of God, you made the right choice. But either way, you question the Word of God. And that comes from Satan. He was the first person. Now, you want to see something wild? Take your Bible, look at Matthew chapter 1. I'm sorry, Matthew chapter 4. The very first time Satan appears in the Old Testament, he shows up and he says, "Yea, hath God said," and He tempted Eve, and Eve sinned, right? Eve gave to Adam, and because he loved his wife enough to die for her, he sinned. And guess what? From that point on, all men are sinners. But God said, okay, I can fix the problem. I myself will go and be with them, Emmanuel. I will call my name Jesus, and Jesus will save the people from their sins. So you see, you begin to question the Word of God. Is there really a such thing as sin? But then the next step becomes, if you agree there's sin, and you agree there's a God, then the question becomes, what about Jesus? Can I get to heaven some other way than Jesus? Isn't it neat? When Satan showed up, he questioned the Word of God, right? That's the first problem. See, when you deal with a scientist, first off, you've got to get him to start with the Word of God. Because, if this ain't true, then none of us are saved. So there's not even an argument. But we start with the Word of God. That's Satan. Look in Matthew chapter 4. The very first time Satan shows up in the New Testament, I want you to look at the first words out of his mouth. In Matthew chapter number 4, and I think it's somewhere around verse 2 or 3 there. Let me get my Bible in position. Notice here, yeah. All right, verse 1, we'll read the context. Then Jesus, this is right after his baptism. Now, you want to see something very interesting. His baptism was in chapter 3. Look at verse 17. At his baptism, the Bible says, and lo, a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved what? Son. That's his name. What is his son's name? This is him. He's telling them, in whom I am well pleased. Then we hit chapter 4, verse number 1. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he afterward was an hungered. And when the tempter came to him, what did he say? If thou be the Son of God. There it is. First time he showed up in the Old Testament, he questioned the Word of God. First time he showed up in the New Testament, he questioned the Son of God. You say, why? Because they're one and the same. You deny one, you deny the other. But see, that's the question. See, when you look at this, that question in Proverbs becomes so, so very important. It's not just about, is there a God? It's about, what is his son's name? His name is Jesus because he shall save his people from their sins. The only way to be saved this morning is through the name of Jesus. That's why when the apostles went out over there in Acts chapter 4, there is none other name, there is salvation in no other name than what? Than Jesus. You see, that's the whole thing in a nutshell. You can talk about Islam, you can talk about being a Jehovah's Witness, you can talk about Mormons, you can talk about Confucius, you can talk about Buddha, you can talk about all those things, you can talk about atheists, you can talk about environmentalists, or not environmentalists. Oh, brother. I don't know, they may be the same thing, I don't know. I mean, they want to hug a tree instead of the man that created the tree. I never have understood that, but I'm trying to think of the word. Evolutionist, that's the word I wanted. They're all in the same crowd. But evolutionist, you know, and believe we came from monkeys and believe life came from a little explosion. It just goes on and on. But you deal with all of those things. You know what the reality of it is? Hey, there is a God. Or either there isn't. And if there isn't a God, then there's no point in any of this. But people say, oh, but I believe there's a God. Well, you got to go one step further. What is his son's name? Take your Bibles here. Where are we at? We're in Matthew. Look at what he says. When he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. Now look at Jesus' reply. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Now we use that to teach how important the Bible is. But when you really look at it in that context, look at something. If you live by the Word of God. Do you realize the only reason you're existing is because God said you could exist? What did it say over there in John 1:1? In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. It said, and in Him was life. If God so chooses, He can speak the Word and any one of us in the building drop dead. See it? In the beginning was the Word. Notice what Jesus... And when Satan showed up and he hammered Jesus on, Satan knew exactly who he was. But he had to question. Why? Because that's what Satan does. If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. It's wild. Why? Because he is the Word. You see, that's why the Bible says, for the Word of God is alive. You are born again, not of incorruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed by the Word of God which liveth and abideth forever. That's why salvation is in none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Take your Bibles, look over there in Matthew chapter number 8. You say, are you sure? Look, I'm going to show you something. You say, people that don't believe in Jesus Christ being the Son of God, the devils are smarter than them. Look in Matthew chapter number 8. And look in verse 28. And when he was come to the other side in the country of Georgia, there met him two possessed with the devils, coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. Two men possessed with devils. And behold, they cried out, saying, "What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God?" You can say, "Well, I don't believe Jesus was the Son of God." You ain't got as much sense as a devil. I'm serious. You say, "Well, I'm not trying to make fun of you, but that's the truth." You know, like the umpire. I got to call it like I see it. But notice here, it says that the devils know who he is. Now let's look at something else. We're still in the introduction. We're laying some groundwork. Look at Matthew chapter 14. We're going through because this gets interesting. Matthew chapter 14, we're just going through. Look at this term, Son of God. Matthew chapter number 14, his disciples knew who he were. Why did they know who he was? Because of what he could do. Now see, this drives you back to Proverbs chapter 30. But look in Matthew chapter number, Matthew, we're in chapter 14. Now we're not going to read the whole thing for sake of time. But in 22, this is where we have Peter walking on the water, right? And the disciples get in the ship, they go to the other side, but the winds are boisterous and everything's wild, and Jesus is going to just walk right by them on the ship, and then they see him, and they get all scared, and then Peter says, "Lord, if it be thou," right? Notice, where am I at here? Let's see. And Peter said, we're in verse 28, and Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou." Even Peter had a little bit of question. "Bid me come onto the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and called him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" And when they were come into the ship, what? The wind ceased. Who hath gathered the wind in his fist? Right? You see, why did Jesus do the things that he did? Why did he calm the seas? Why did he heal the lame? Why did he heal the deaf? Why did he do all those things? Why did he raise the dead? Because life was in him. Science can do a lot of things, but they got to have life to reproduce life. You know what? You say, "Boy, science, they've really made some modern leaps." They are cloning things, right? They're only about 4,000 or 5,000 years behind. Say, what do you mean? You go over there in Exodus, them Egyptians could take their rods and turn them into snakes. Them Egyptians could do every miracle that Moses could do, except for one. When Moses took dust and threw it up in the air and it became lice throughout all of Egypt, magicians couldn't do it. You say, why? Because that's life from dirt. That's original creation. And those magicians said to Pharaoh, "This is the finger of God." Who's the incarnate finger of God? His Son. Take our Bibles. We're in Matthew chapter 14. Look there. When the wind ceased, verse 32, when they come into the ship and the wind ceased, then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, "Of a truth, thou art the Son of God." See it? Why? Because of what he could do. Take your Bibles. We'll just keep going on over. Look there, if you would, to Matthew 26. Matthew chapter number 26. Now, I want you to see something here in Matthew 26. You say, what was the reason they crucified Jesus? Because he claimed to be the Son of God. Are you beginning to see why Proverbs chapter 30 is one of the greatest questions in the Bible? What is his son's name, if thou canst tell? Matthew 26. Look over there if you would. In Matthew 26, we're going to look at verse number 63. Now this is Jesus here. He's before the high priest. And I've lost my place. There we are. He's before the high priest. But Jesus held his peace, and the high priest answered and said unto him, "I adjure thee by the living God." You see, the high priest had no problem with the living God. What he had problem with was his son's name. And he's a religious man of the Jews. But that Jesus held his peace, and the high priest answered and said unto him, I adjure thee by the living God that thou tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God. And he said unto him, thou hast said. Nevertheless, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds. Who hath ascended into heaven? Who hath descended? Proverbs 30. He identified himself. And you say, when he identified himself, what did they do? They crucified him. You say, why? Because only Jesus can save the people from their sins. Look at this. Verse 65. Then the high priest rent his clothes, saying, he hath spoken blasphemy. What further need we have witnesses? Behold, ye have heard this blasphemy. What think ye? They answered and said, he is guilty of death. And they spit in his face and buffeted him, and others smote him with their palms of their hands, saying, prophesy unto us, thou Christ, who is he that smote thee? You say, what is that? That's a picture of all mankind. Once Jesus Christ has been identified in your life, you either reject him or you receive him. You either smite him, you either spit in his face, you either buffet him, you either throw challenging questions and tempt the Lord. They covered his face and started hitting him, saying, okay, which one of us hit you? He could have told them what they did as a child to identify which one hit him. He could have told them what they thought in their mind when they were doing it. But he didn't do it. Notice here. Now see, the Son of God. Now you say, what's the other side of the coin? Take your Bibles, look in Matthew chapter 27. Here's another picture of that. Matthew 27, look at verse 39. And they passed by, reviled him, wagging their heads, and saying, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself, if thou be the Son of God. Even when he got on the cross, people are still saying, if thou be the Son of God. If thou be the Son of God. Look over here in verse number 50. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. The earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were opened, and many of the bodies of the saints which slept arose. Why? Because in him was life. And came out of the graves after his resurrection. And went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Now when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw an earthquake and those things which were done, feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. You see, that's been that we have looked this morning in our introduction at the greatest problem society faces. It's not so much, is there a God? That is a huge question. But the key is, what is his Son's name, if thou canst tell? Because in his Son is where salvation lies. Say, now what do we do with this? What's the message? Look at Mark chapter 1. Look at verse number 1. You see, the Bible is so unique. After laying out all of this, there's only one gospel that begins this way. And it's Mark. Right after hammering the Son of God, the Son of God, the Son of God. Look at Mark 1:1. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. There it is. You see, because of the death, because of the burial and the resurrection. Notice here, let's look at some things. So what does this mean to us? It's the beginning of the gospel, not of just Jesus Christ as a man, but Jesus Christ as the Son of God. What is the gospel, all right? Well, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the Bible says, we're not going to turn over there, but you know it. It says, and according Jesus Christ was crucified according to the Scriptures. He was buried, and he was resurrected according to the Scriptures. What is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? It is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the gospel by which we preach. Hey, that is what saves us. But look at something. Take your Bibles and look at Romans chapter number 1. This this is where it gets important. Hey, the reason that Jesus Christ is the only way for you to be saved is because He was the Son of God. And let me show you something. The only reason you can be saved is because He came out of the grave, the death, the burial, and the resurrection. But the resurrection declares that He is the Son of God. Look in Romans chapter number 1. And Paul wrote it for you. Verse 4. And notice here. Now look at verse number 3 for the context. Concerning His Son Jesus, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God. Why? With power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. That's the gospel. Say, how am I going to get saved? You're going to have to believe the gospel. You say, what's the gospel? Death, burial, resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, why? Because the resurrection declares that He is the Son of God. And if you're going to have the Son of God, you're going to have belief in the gospel. You're going to have to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. See what I mean? It's the greatest question that mankind has ever faced since the beginning of time. Who is God? Who is He? But more importantly, what about His Son? Notice here, so the gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection. It's declared. Jesus is declared to be the Son of God by that. Now, you say salvation comes by believing the gospel and trusting Jesus Christ. Yes, take your Bibles. Look back, if you would, to John chapter number 1. Say, what is the message? The message is simple salvation. The question is Jesus Christ the Son of God? If He is, salvation is simple. If He's not, it's impossible. You say, well, I don't believe that He is. You'll never make it to heaven. Plain and simple. You say, well, how do I make it to heaven? It's very simple. You got to believe that He is. Take your Bibles, look in John chapter number 1, in verse number 12. Now, I realize Jesus hadn't been crucified here. He's speaking in a prophetic sense. Notice in verse 11, it says, and He came into His own, and His own received Him not. Why? Because they didn't believe He was the Son of God. Matter of fact, they crucified Him for saying He was the Son of God. Now, we look in verse 12, but as many as received Him, but some did. We saw that centurion. He believed it, right? Now, I realize salvation and all that was being completed after the resurrection, but nonetheless, some people believed it. And as many as received Him, to them He gave power to become the sons of God. Wow. You mean I can be a son of God? Sure. But it's only going to come by Him. Even to them that believe on what? His name. What is His Son's name, if thou canst tell? The Bible says here, notice He says, and many as them, even to them that believe on His name, which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. Life comes from God. Eternal life comes from God. Take your Bibles, look in John chapter number 20. We're just going to look at some verses on this, man. It's a great run on the Bible and studying your Bible. In John chapter number 20, at the very end of this gospel, at the very beginning and at the very end, look at what it says. Notice in John chapter 20, John chapter 20, in verse number 30, and many other signs truly Jesus did in the presence of His disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written. Why? The Word of God is written. Why? Because it's Jesus Christ. Why? That ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through His name. See it? Boy, that name in Proverbs chapter 30 becomes very significant. You say, why? Because it is the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And the Word was crucified. And the Word saves us from our sins. Why? Because ye are born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God. 1 Peter, that's in 1 Peter chapter 1. But notice here. Notice not only that. Look over there in Acts chapter number 8. Just jumping over there. We're just seeing some things. Most of you know these, but look. If you're going to be saved this morning, if you're going to know that you can go to heaven when you die, it is only going to be found in the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone. You say, well, what if I trust this, or what if I trust that, or what if I do this, or what if I do that? What is His Son's name, if thou canst tell? That's what God wants to know. What did you do with my son? Not what did you do with your time? Not what did you do with your money? Not what did you do with your life? Because I gave you that life. But notice here in John, in Acts chapter 8, when Philip was dealing with that Ethiopian eunuch over there, we read in verse 36. Now, well, there's just so much here and I'm trying to hurry. But notice, he went back and he was preaching about Jesus, the lamb that was slain there from Isaiah 53. But nonetheless, when they got through preaching, look at verse 35. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Muhammad. No. He preached unto him Buddha. No. He preached unto him do the Ten Commandments. No. He preached unto him the Golden Rule. No. He preached unto him love thy neighbor. No. He preached unto him Jesus. That's because there's only one name. There's only one person. He preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came into certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Now, you want to know something wild? If you got a modern day Bible, 37 ain't in it. You look at an NIV, 37 ain't there. You say, why? Because of what it says. Because somebody has a problem with God's Son's name. And Philip said unto him, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's why he got saved. And that is taken out of modern Bibles. You say, why? Because somebody don't want you believing in that name. Who's the first person to question that name? Satan? Say, Satan wouldn't be behind a modern Bible production. Go ahead, believe that. Take your Bibles. Last place we're going to look under this thought. Under this thought. John chapter number 5. I'm sorry, 1 John chapter 5. Boy, ain't it wild? I mean, if you just let the Bible speak, it'll blow your mind. But it'll also save your soul. And that's what's most important. Scientists, most of them, their mind's already blown. It's already shot to pieces. They need the second. They need the other part. Notice here in 1 John chapter number 5, I want you to look at something in verse number 15. I'm sorry, in verse number 10. I'm sorry, in verse number 13. We'll get it. It's there. There ain't but 21. Sooner or later, we're going to hit it. 1 John chapter 5, look at verse 13. These things have I written. There it is. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of Confucius. No. On the name of Joseph Smith. No. On the name of Pope. Which one are we on now? No, Benedict was the last one. What's the new one? Francis. I don't want to believe on anybody named Francis. Goodness. That ye that believe on the name of the Son of God. See, there it is. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. Folks, there is only one way to know that you have eternal life. There is only one way to know that you're going to heaven. And it's knowing who the Son of God is. But not just knowing who He is. Satan knew who He was. Right? The devils knew who he was. That's why James said the devils believe and tremble. It's not just knowing who he is, but it's trusting him as your Savior and putting your faith in him and his shed blood alone and what he did for you on Calvary. And you can know that you have eternal life. Say, what's the downside to this? Take your Bibles, jump back to John chapter 3. Say, preacher, what happens if I just simply choose? You know, I just have a problem. I just don't believe Jesus is the only way. I don't believe He's the only God, the only Son of God. I can't believe that. I just can't go there. That's okay. Every man's entitled to his opinion. God made us with free wills. That's the whole point of this thing. Look in John chapter number 3. You know this verse? It's the greatest verse in the Bible. We quote it with all the folks at the nursing home. Even they remember this verse. What does John 3:16 say? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now look at verse 17. I couldn't quote all this. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. It's only in him. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Do you know what condemned? You tell people they're going to hell. I'm not telling you that. The Bible says that. The Bible says if you believe not on the Lord Jesus Christ, if you believe he's not the Son of God, you are condemned already. That's plain. That's simple. Now here's the scary part. And we're almost done. Look in Acts chapter 17. In Acts chapter 17. Here's the problem. You see, folks, the greatest debate, the greatest question, the greatest thing to ever face mankind. Who is his son? What is his son's name? What is his name? Yet what is his son's name, if thou canst tell? Why? Because his son is the Savior of all mankind. Now notice this. In Acts chapter 17, look at something here. Now I realize Paul's quoting a heathen poet. But this is what man believes. Look at this. Verse 28. For in him we live and move and have our being. How many lost people say, I believe God created us, but Jesus isn't the only way? See what I mean? Now, the heathen poet is saying the same thing. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of our poets have said, for we are also his offspring. See, everybody believes they're a child of God. But the problem is, until you've believed in the Son of God, you're not a child of God. Adam lost that. Why? Because Satan tempted him right out of it. Why? By questioning the Word of God. He robbed us. And if you're not careful, the tempter will come along as he did in Matthew chapter 4, and he'll rob it right from you this morning. If thou be, I just don't know about that Jesus and salvation thing. See what I mean? He'll steal it right from you. For as much then, verse 29, as we are the offspring of God. Now Paul talks about saved people. We are the offspring of God. We ought not to think the Godhead is likened to gold, silver, or stone, or graven image, or art by man's device. Created gods is what he's talking about. That's not our God. At the times of this ignorance, God winked at. But what does he do now? But now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Why? Because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness. That's good because I've done a lot of good things. Right? That's what church people think. I belong to the church. I give money. I feed the poor. I give them my time. I do. And if he's going to judge the world in righteousness, then I might work out okay. But you got to keep reading. That he will judge the world in righteousness by that man. Who's that man? Whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. There he is. See, that's the problem. God will one day judge all men, not by what you could do, not by what I could do, not by what somebody told us we should do. He's going to judge mankind by Jesus Christ. And that's the only way he's going to judge you. You say, what is that likened unto? Well, how many of you have ever seen those old balance scales? Right? Now let me ask you something. If you put four quarters in one side and a dollar bill in the other, will it balance? You say, yeah, but they're the same. No, they're not. Say they equal the same. In whose eyes? Man's. See, that's the way we look at it. Well, I've equaled Jesus Christ because I've done some actions. But unless you are Jesus Christ, unless you have Him inside of you, you are not Jesus Christ. The only way the scale balances, if Jesus Christ steps on one side of the scale, you better have Him on the other. Or there is no way in the world it will ever balance. You say, I just don't know about that, preacher. Let me ask you something. How many sins did Jesus commit? Zero. How many have you committed? Even if it's one, it's unbalanced. Because God is going to judge the world in righteousness by His Son, Jesus Christ. And you're going to stand before God and you're going to give an account. And then you know what's going to happen? He's going to say, depart from me, I never knew you. And then, but before that, you'll get to do one thing. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. You know what's wild about that? In Psalms 138, it says, Thou hast magnified thy name above all thy word. It's because they're the same. In John chapter 12, verse 48, let me read that for you. Jesus said, He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. You know why when you stand before God, you'll be without excuse? Because God will open this thing right here up. It won't be my Bible. But He's going to open up His word. And He's going to say, the word. And then He's going to say, the word. They're the same. And you rejected it. And the word that I have spoken, the same shall judge you. What have you done with the Lord Jesus Christ? Every head bowed, every eye closed. As they come, we're going to have a few verses here this morning of a hymn of invitation. Primarily, I recognize this message is salvation. And I hope and pray that each person here in this building this morning can honestly say without a shadow of a doubt in their heart, I know that I'm saved. But if you can't say that this morning, there's a problem. But you know what? There's a wonderful solution that is waiting. Who is it? What is it? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. And He wants to save you. He wants to deliver you from your sins. He wants you to know that you have eternal life. He wants you to know that if you died this afternoon, you would die and go to heaven. But He's the only way that that's going to happen. If there's someone here this morning that's not saved, when we sing this hymn of invitation, you can come forward here. We have people in the back. They're ready to talk to you. They'll take you in the back. Nobody's going to force you into anything. They're just going to show you the gospel. And guess what? You get to make a choice. But every man will make a choice with whether Jesus is the Son of God. It's there in the Bible. If you make the right choice, you'll be saved. If you make the wrong one, you will be judged by Him. If God has spoken to your heart and you're not sure of salvation, you ought to come this morning. You ought to let us get somebody that can lead you down. If you're, you know, if nothing else, say, preacher, I just can't walk the aisle. Well, find me after the service. Find somebody. But it's the greatest question. It's the greatest thing that's ever taken place on the face of the earth. Jesus, or God, sent His Son to die for your sins and my sins. And that's the only way you'll ever be saved. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the day. Thank You for each one here this morning. Lord God, we thank You that You sent Your Son. Lord God, that You became flesh and dwelt among us. We thank You that there's salvation in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord God, I pray that Your Spirit might have free course here to deal with hearts this morning. And if there's one that's lost, that they might see that need, Lord God, and they might be saved before it's ever too late. Lord God, we also pray, Lord, for that saved person that's here this morning. Help them to realize they are the Son of God. Help them to realize they represent you to this world. Lord God, we just pray that the Spirit might move and you might speak to hearts here this morning. May you be glorified in what's said and what's done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.